G'day there, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. My name is Pastor Marty, and it is a delight to join you live here from the Faith FM studio in South Australia, Adelaide. And boy, it's been an absolute stinker here the last few days. And I want to introduce you, Pastor Justin Strauss, who's co-hosting today. Welcome to you, Pastor Justin.
G'day, Pastor Marty, on this warm afternoon.
Warm is an understatement. I think we have been absolutely roasted down here in South Oz, and I think it's stretched certainly across Victoria as well. And I think we had sort of at home around 44 degrees here in Adelaide yesterday, and today wasn't quite as bad. Actually, it was probably about the same. And then it started to cool down a little bit. But you were saying, we were talking just before, that There was a town in South Oz today that got close to 50 degrees.
50 degrees, yeah. Yesterday I was with my family, and when I got in the car, it was 47.
It was 47?
47, yeah.
Boy, right. Oh boy. Yeah. Okay, so this is serious stuff. You know, we're very grateful to be in the studio today where there's beautiful air conditioning, and we're just thrilled to be able to come to you live today. Now, our subject that we're going to be dealing with this week is called an introduction really to the Bible, Intro to the Bible 101. And what a great place to start as we really are still towards the beginning of 2026. And we want to lay a foundation. And the Bible really is the foundation of the Christian faith. And so today we're basically going to be asking the question, well, what is the Bible? And we're going to be introducing the Bible, assuming nothing. And I'm sure that this will be a really, really fascinating presentation for our listeners today. Now, before we do that, we're going to jump into what's called our World Watch segment. And this is a segment in each Drive Time show where we look at world religious trends. And today I picked up an article that was released right at the end of last year by the Barna Group. Now, George Barna does incredible research in religious trends. And this article is called How Millennials and Gen Z Are Driving a Bible Reading Comeback. Millennials, by the way, I'm in the millennial group. Are you a millennial, Justin?
No.
Oh, you're a, what's that? What's before the millennials?
Born in the 70s.
Born in the 70s. Hey, that's awesome. not quite a baby boomer, but you're somewhere between the baby boomer and the millennials.
That's right.
So, I think it's a Gen X or something like that. So this is fascinating. What we're seeing is that young people in the United States, and I would say that this would probably be reflected in other countries as well, but certainly young people in the United States are reading the Bible more than what would be expected. A weekly Bible reading from the article, among U.S. adults has climbed to 42%, up 12 points since a 15-year low in 2024. And it's interesting that young adults are leading the way. Bible reading among Gen Z and millennials, so that's really people born from sort of 1983 approximately onwards, has surged since 2024, with nearly half now engaging in scripture reading weekly. But there's a but here. While more Americans are reading the Bible, the highest rate since 2012, a smaller percentage strongly affirms its authority. This reveals a gap between curiosity and conviction. So this is quite interesting. What we're seeing here is that people are reading the Bible more and yet not necessarily accepting it as the authoritative word of God. Now, another insight from this article, which I found fascinating, is that young men are the ones who are leading in Bible reading. Historically, the article says, women have been more likely than men to read scripture weekly. For example, boomer women, that is those that have born around the sort of the 50s and 60s, they have outpaced boomer men in Bible reading every year for the last 8 years. But 2025 data tells a different story. Younger men, let me continue, are outpacing younger women in engaging in scripture. These findings are unexpected, Kinnaman observes. Kinnaman is the CEO of the Barna Research Group at the moment. And he says, women generally have been more religiously active than men. But now younger men emerge as the most frequent Bible readers. Although also there is a bigger post-pandemic bounce in men's Bible reading than in women's usage. The data suggests that younger men, often characterized as disengaged from faith, may in fact be among the catalysts for this renewed interest in scripture. Fascinating insight. Let me pick up on one more thing in this article. The article highlights that there is a tension that remains between belief and practice. While more Americans are reading the Bible, they are less likely to fully endorse the accuracy of its teachings, the article states. In the year 2000, 43% strongly agreed that the Bible is totally accurate in the principles of its teachings. That number fell to 40% in recent years, but now sits at about 36%. Even among self-identified Christians, only 44% strongly affirm the Bible's accuracy. So engagement, Kinnaman says, is outpacing conviction. People are opening the Bible more often, but they're still wrestling with what they believe about it. And that gap between reading and trusting is worth paying attention to. Now, Pastor Justin, I want to ask a couple of questions here. What do you think, first of all, is actually driving this increased curiosity in reading scripture?
Thank you, Pastor Marty. I found this Barna reading very, very interesting, and it shows that there is a resurgence in people wanting to know about the Bible and being led by the men. Because we know that the last couple of decades, it's the women that are more spiritually inclined. But here we see a reversal of that, where the men are taking the lead. And this is very, very encouraging. And it's a good question as to what is driving this, why. Pastor Marty, there could be a number of reasons. Maybe one of the reasons is people are looking for hope. I think as people sure. are seeing the condition of the world today, where there's just problems and challenges and dangers on every side, and on, you know, social level, economic level, you know, people can see that the world is falling apart at the seams. And I believe that people are drawn to the Bible. There's a magnetism to the Word of God that somehow, maybe when they were younger, growing up, maybe on their mother's knee, that they were heard the Bible stories, and maybe there's a resurgence because people are wanting to discover answers. And so, you know, and I believe that also the Spirit of God is working. I believe that God is working behind the scenes as well in a powerful way. So, you know, although it doesn't really give an answer as to why, I think it could be a variety of reasons. But people are generally wanting to know, is there hope in a pretty hopeless world?
You know, it's interesting that the article sort of indicated that whilst we're seeing an increase in engagement with reading the Bible, the author sort of said this probably isn't synonymous with necessarily a revival, but it certainly is showing that people are showing more interest in the Bible, and this could have a ripple effect as time goes on. You know, I guess one of the other things that comes to mind is it possible that, you know, in America in particular, we see that sort of Christian nationalism is becoming something that's becoming more pronounced, more vocal, more prominent. And I dare I say that is it possible that is something that particularly interests young men, this sort of connection to politics. You know, I'm not so sure about that myself, but I do wonder if in fact some of the things we're seeing in the US and some of the political instability that you know, and even the events surrounding Charlie Kirk, could these things possibly be catalysts that are, you know, raising curiosity in young people's minds and saying, well, what does the Bible actually teach?
Mm. I think you're making a very good point. And we do see a rise in Christian nationalism in American politics. And so the political landscape of America is becoming more religious. And so you're correct. I mean, this could be one of the driving factors. But it's very interesting that there seems to be a shift in American church attendance as well, where there seems to be less people attending church. You know, I've been watching a couple of documentaries and reading some reports that, you know, these mega churches, you know, mega churches is classified as a church that has over, I think, a couple of thousand, over 2,000 or something is regarded as a mega church.
Mm-hmm.
But the mega churches in America are decreasing drastically.
Mm.
But at the same time, you have an increase in interest in the Bible. And so we really are seeing a shift. And I think it's really interesting times that we are living in.
You know, when you mentioned that God is going to be, you know, God's spirit is moving, it did make me think of Joel chapter 2, because it does say in Joel chapter 2 in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, of course, this was partially fulfilled at Pentecost, but we know from the prophet Joel that he describes sort of these two events that are going to really fulfill this prophecy in its entirety. One of them was Pentecost, but the other will be at the end of time before Christ returns. And so to me, yes, I do believe that we will see a resurgence of young people opening up the Bible and showing curiosity, and perhaps that curiosity can lead them to something deeper, to something that's a deep conviction. And Pastor Justin, that's the next question I want to ask you is, you know, how do we transition from curiosity to conviction? How, and even personally, you know, perhaps some of our listeners are listening today, and perhaps, you know, their experience with the Bible has been largely, you know, curiosity driven. They're interested in learning more, just about different various things. But how can this not just stop at curiosity? How can it move on to actually change my life so that I experience the peace, the joy, and the power of God that God actually wants to give us?
It's a very good question. So in other words, you move from curiosity to conviction to conversion.
And I like that.
And I think ultimately that what God wants is conversion. In other words, we come to the Bible not only to be informed, but to be transformed. And so how does it happen? Well, I believe that one of the strongest, catalysts for this conversion process is to pray. When you open the Bible, you know, I have a rule of thumb that whenever I open the Bible, always pray. I always tell it to myself. I never read the Bible without prayer. And my prayer is very simple in Psalm 43 verse 3. And this is a beautiful psalm that you can memorize where it says, Psalm 43 verse 3, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. And so we pray, Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them guide me. Let them show me the way of salvation. So I think it's very important that we, whenever we come to the Word of God, that we come with an open heart and a receptive mind and a teachable spirit. And so you pray. You pray for the Holy Spirit to impress the heart with truth, to drive conviction, and ultimately to convert us to from our ways to the ways of God. So, and let me just say that God is pleased that people are curious about the Bible, because God can work with that. I don't think that's a huge negative. I don't think that's a cause of great concern, because often people's conversion is traced to just a simple curiosity over the Bible. And so God can work with that. And I think whenever we are open to reading the Word of God, that there's no limit to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and conversion. So for me, this is very encouraging.
I love that answer, Pastor Justin, you know, that this is, the Bible is not just an ordinary book. And no. So we don't approach it just like an ordinary book. We actually approach it with that attitude of prayer, of asking God
sincerity.
To lead us.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges that we're facing today is that though people are reading scripture, but they're not treating it with that reverence because they don't fully accept it as the word of God. What do you think would it take? You know, well, what, you know, you didn't grow up as a believer yourself. No. So what was it for you that was the actual catalyst that helped you to see that this book was not an ordinary book, but it was the very word of God itself?
For me, one of the greatest evidences were two things, was archaeology and prophecy. And so that really cemented in my mind that this is no ordinary book. This is a book that exceeds and supersedes every other book ever written, and it shows its authenticity and its authority based on what has been discovered in archaeology. You know, like, you know, just not just the diggings, but like the Dead Sea Scrolls, and also the prophecy, how the Bible predicted events, you know, far in advance of it actually happening. And for me, that was really a clincher for me.
So these were profound, really, we're talking about evidence now.
Evidence, yeah.
You saw through archaeology and prophecy evidence to show that the Bible isn't just an ordinary book.
No.
How could it have possibly predicted things hundreds and even thousands of years in advance? And how is it that what we find, is dug up by the archaeologists matches with the biblical account time and time and time again? And so that is so encouraging. And I think that this is probably key, Pastor Justin, that especially for young people who are showing a curiosity in scripture, if we can engage them in some of these, biblical studies where we can show the beauty of prophecy, the books of Daniel and Revelation, those books changed my life. They had a profound influence on my faith. Mm. And I am absolutely sure that it would be the same for many other young people as well. Hey friends, I hope you're enjoying this conversation as we dig into the Bible. And of course, this week we are looking at the intro to the Bible, the Bible 101. We want to ask the basic questions about scripture. You know, why can we trust the word of the Bible as the word of God? What is exactly the Bible? Well, after a song, we're going to be coming back and diving more into this subject. I hope you enjoy this next song by David Phelps. It's called As the Deer.
My soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you spirit here. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship.
That was David Phelps, As the Deer, powerful song. Welcome back to Drive Time Q&A with Pastor Marty, and my co-host today is Pastor Justin Strauss. We're looking at an introduction to the Bible. We're not assuming anything. We're just asking the questions. What is the Bible? How do we get the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? These are the types of things we're going to be talking about today. Now, we do have a free giveaway today. It's called The Clear Word, Psalms and Proverbs by Jack Blanco. Jack Blanco has actually written a book called The Clear Word. It is really essentially, it's like a simplified, easy read version of scripture. And I've personally read his, from The Clear Word. And I've found it to be very spiritually enriching, very powerful. And if you would like a free copy of this book, The Clear Word, Psalms and Proverbs, it's a great little book to just take with you, put it in your bag, put it in your briefcase or in your handbag. Take it with you from place to place. When you've got a moment to pause, take it out and read and be blessed by the books of Psalms and Proverbs written in a way that will be so clear and so easy to understand. This is a free gift that us at Faith FM would love to give to you. And all you've got to do to claim this free gift is actually to text our drive time number. And you've got to text our drive time number. The drive time number is 0488 808 11. That number again is 0488 808 11. And you're going to text the code SA401. No gaps in between. SA for South Australia, SA401. And that drive time number once again is 0488 808 11. Text us that number and our robot will respond to you so that we can get you this book as soon as possible. It's a beautiful book. I'm sure that you'll be blessed and spiritually uplifted as you read this wonderful book. Well, welcome back once again. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Pastor Marty and Pastor Justin Strauss. We are looking at an introduction to the Bible. Pastor Justin, let me hand over the time to you as we just dive into this topic of, well, what is the Bible?
Thank you, Pastor Marty. Let me just start by saying just a very interesting fact, that the greatest bestseller of all time is the Bible. Now, I did a little bit of Google research to see how many printed versions of the Bible have been distributed around the world or bought, and it's been said there's over 4 billion. So over 4 billion copies of the Bible has been sold or distributed around the world. And another interesting fact about the Bible is that the Bible has been translated into more than 2,000 languages, in excess of 2,000 languages. And it is said that more than 90% of the world's population can understand the Bible in a language that they can relate to. Okay, so it is truly a universal book. In other words, the Bible stands without peer or parallel. There's no other book that even comes close to the Bible. And even today, in our secular postmodern world, the Bible is still the bestseller from year on to year on. It's just incredible that there is something in the Bible that draws our hearts to it. There's a magnetism to the Word of God. It captivates our minds and our hearts. And so this is no ordinary book. It's a supernatural, extraordinary book. Now, Pastor Marty, one of my most prized possessions that I have at home is a Bible printed from the 1650s. It's a big old Bible from Scotland, because my forefathers were from Scotland. Yeah. So I have this Bible in my possession that was passed down to me from my grandfather from Scotland. And it is my most precious possession outside of my family. So if my house was burning down, I'd make sure that my my wife and my kids are fine, then I'll grab that Bible. You know, so it's wonderful. And often I would just sit with that Bible and, I'll just, you know, page through, you know, this Bible, you know, ancient words. And yet I find that the Bible, even though it's so ancient, it is not outdated. In other words, the Bible is still relevant to the here and now.
Absolutely. Just like the article we just read, even young people today, are reading scripture, you know, at a very high rate. A lot of people are interested in what the Bible says. You know, as you were speaking, Pastor Justin, it also made me think that, you know, this is a book that is appealing to all cultures, all ages. It doesn't matter where people have come from or, you know, their background. There seems to be this interest in the Word of God, unlike any other book.
Absolutely. And now, if we look at the Bible itself, the Bible is composed of 66 books, and you can divide it between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament is comprised of 39 books.
39, yeah.
And the New Testament is 27 books.
All right.
And so the Bible is written over a time period of approximately 1,500 years, which is a long time. And so it wasn't just written at one locality, at one specific time, when 1 year. And so the Bible has basically been written over a long period of time. And what's also interesting that it was written in three languages, Greek, Hebrew, and then a little bit of Aramaic. And on three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, Northern Africa. And so it really is a very special book. And so you have different genres in the Bible. You have poetry, you have wisdom, you have history, you have law, you have songs, you even have health, you have science, very interesting, and then prophecy. And so the Bible is extremely comprehensive and all encompassing. And yet the Bible is so simple that even a little child can understand the Bible. And yet at the same time, it presents subjects of thought and study that is so profound and so deep that the highest intellect of man will be fascinated by it for the entire lifetime. You cannot exhaust, the fountain of wisdom in the Word of God. And so this is what is really appealing to the Bible. And it's so interesting that the Bible even speaks about science. I was reading a couple of articles about the Bible relating to science. And just to give you two examples, and there are many examples, do you know that the Bible actually predicted, or not predicted, but taught that the earth floats in space? You know, in Job chapter 26, verse 7, it says, "He, God, stretches out the north over the empty space, and he hangs the earth on nothing." Now, in a lot of the pagan cultures, in ancient times, believed that the gods or the animals upheld the earth, that it didn't hang on anything or nothing. But the Bible says that the earth just hangs in space. And also that the earth is round. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Very interesting that the Bible is not opposed to science. And I think that one of the criticisms of those who oppose the Bible is that they think that the Bible is against science. In other words, when you become a Christian, that you need to put your intellect on the shelf and just be brain dead. But no. The Bible supports, upholds science, because the God who inspired the Bible is the same God who created the world and basically created science. And so that, for me, that is really interesting. And so these are a couple of interesting facts about the Bible. And
this is quite profound. I mean, you know, we're talking one book here that is really a collection of books. It's 66 books in one. Like you said, written over a period of 1,500 years. And I think approximately 40 different authors who actually wrote the Bible. And like you're saying, Pastor Justin, you know, this is something that, you know, I can read to my kids at night and they enjoy it. They love it. The Bible is my children's favorite book for sure. They love the stories. They're so engaging. And yet you're right. The most profound intellects can study the Bible and never fully plumb the depths of the scripture. And you know, you mentioned poetry as well, and I think that this is something that is absolutely beautiful. I think we find some of the most beautiful poetry. In fact, I think we find the most beautiful poetry in scripture. Let me just read this incredibly famous piece of writing from the Apostle Paul. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You know, these are such beautiful words. And to me, this is all pointing to something that, yeah, that means that the Bible is really, like you said, it is unlike any other book.
Absolutely, Pastor Marty. It actually, when you read the Bible, it really enriches the heart. There's no other book that just lifts your spirit and really gives you a wonderful feeling than reading the Bible. What's also interesting, Pastor Marty, you said there were over 40 authors. Now, I want to break that down a little bit. Do you know that there's authors from all varied backgrounds? You had generals, you had prophets, you had farmers, you had statesmen, you had tax collectors, you have fishermen, you have scholars, shepherds, kings, all different backgrounds. And you know what's the most amazing thing, Pastor Marty? Is that even though this was written over 1,500 years by so many different people from various backgrounds, they all speak with one voice. And for me, this is one of the greatest evidences of the divine authenticity of the Word of God, that it has a supernatural origin. Because how is it possible that you could have a book that is composed and comprised of so many authors over a vast period of time that is written from so many cultural points of view, and yet it harmonizes perfectly? There is perfect equilibrium. In other words, nothing that what one author writes does the other one contradict. And so all the authors, they speak with one voice. And why is that, Pastor Marty? Because it originates from the same source of truth.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, the scripture actually sort of describes this process of how the Bible sort of came to be in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And it says there, in verse 21, it says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man." In other words, the word of God didn't just come out of the minds of people. It says, "But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so the Bible makes this claim. It makes this claim from the outset that this is not just the product of people's ideas, their imaginations, their thoughts. It actually is something that has been inspired by God himself.
Absolutely. And another thing that appeals to me about the Word of God, that it's raw and so real and relevant. It doesn't just cover the flaws and the deficiencies of mankind, but it gives us an accurate account of the failures, the flaws of humanity. But yet God is working even through that. And I think that really resonates with us. For instance, when you read about Peter and how he was, he was faithless and sometimes he denied his Lord, or Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, we can relate to that in our moments of weakness and say, praise God that, you know, even the writers, even the disciples of Jesus experienced, you know, the frailties of human nature, but God is redemptive in his approach. And so that just gives us hope.
This is so true. I just want to jump in on this because this is such a key point. you know, I was on an archaeology tour around this time. Actually, yeah, this time last year I was in Egypt. And one of the things that they show that the archaeologists tell us about Egyptian history and the record of their history is that they often only recorded their victories. So you have these Egyptian pharaohs who were describing how great they are, how victorious they are. The Bible doesn't do that. It, if in anything, it actually highlights the failures of its heroes.
Yes.
And this seems to be very, that is not what humans do. You know, this is not, if I'm writing a book about myself, I'm not going to be, you know, highlighting all the issues. Whereas this is one of the key evidences that this is not just an ordinary book that was written by ordinary people, but rather that it was in fact God who is actually impressing on the minds of his people what to write so that they didn't just skip over, you know, the ugly details that are there. It's like you said, it's very raw and authentic and confronting.
And I think that actually strengthens the authenticity of the Bible. I think that is very important. And so, you know, for me, one of the greatest evidences is prophecy. Do you know that the Bible is the only prophetic book in the world?
This is remarkable.
This is remarkable.
This is remarkable. So you're telling me the Quran doesn't contain
prophecy? They don't really have predictive prophecy. No, they don't really have predictive prophecy. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you do a little bit of research into the Bible, up to one quarter of the Bible is predictive prophecy.
Hmm.
And this is remarkable. And so this is one of the greatest evidences of its authenticity, that no other religious book has so much prophecy as the Bible.
That is incredibly profound. And to me, this was something that was personally life-changing for me. When I saw the prophecies, particularly the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, though I know that many of the books of the Bible actually contain prophecy. Pretty much all of them would contain an element of prophecy almost. And, you know, to me, where you can actually look back in history and compare what the Bible writers said would happen with what history records and see a perfect harmony, to me, that is, it's such a profound thing. And, you know, God is real, and he's certainly, he has been active in the events of this world. This is very powerful. Well, Pastor Justin, look, let's come to a short break. This is really awesome. I'm enjoying this conversation. And when we're back, we're going to keep digging into more of this idea of, well, you know, what is it that makes the Bible just so different, so special? And what is at the very heart of the Bible itself? I hope you enjoy this song. It's called Find Us Faithful by Christian Badal. It's a song particularly for us parents as we think about raising our kids to know and to love God. I hope that you are blessed and inspired by this song.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must follow. Find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey.
Christian Bedal with the beautiful and inspiring song, Find Us Faithful. Welcome back to Drive Time Big Q&A with Pastor Marty and Pastor Justin. We're talking about the Bible today. What is the Bible? Where did it come from? What is at the heart of Scripture? We do have a free gift that we'd love to give you, and it is called The Clear Word, the Psalms and Proverbs. This is really digging into these beautiful books, these poetic books of the Bible, written by King David and Solomon primarily. Psalms and Proverbs. These are beautiful devotional books. Perhaps you're a new Christian. Perhaps you're someone who is looking to get into the habit of reading the Bible each day. Can I recommend that you take up this free offer and get this copy, your own personal copy of The Clear Word, Psalms and Proverbs. These are two books in the Bible that are really simple to understand. They'll speak to both your heart and to your mind and give you practical advice on how to live today. If you want to claim your own free gift of this book, The Clear Word, Psalms and Proverbs by Jack Blanco, all you've got to do is text our studio number. And our studio number is 0488 808 11. So text us at 0488 808 11 and send us the code SA401. That code again is SA401. No gaps in between. And you send that to 0488 808 11, and we will get you this resource as soon as possible. It'll actually come to our robot who will respond to you. And I'm sure that you are going to be richly blessed as you read the Bible for yourself and read it in such an easy to understand translation. You know, Pastor Justin, I'm really enjoying this conversation we're having. Now, we're really coming to the top of the hour, and we're coming to the heart of this topic. What else do you have to share with us about the Bible.
All right, let's zoom out and let's have a look at the glorious grand meta-narrative of the Bible, because I believe that there is a very strong overarching view of the Bible or theme of the Bible. And so even though the Bible was written by multiple authors over a huge period of time, they all are speaking to one overarching theme. And you know what the theme is, Pastor Marty?
I believe that the theme would be Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ and his relentless pursuit to save sinners.
Beautiful. That's powerful.
You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible that speaks to this, and this is found in Jeremiah 31 verse 3. And Jeremiah is actually one of the longest books in the Bible. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, a beautiful verse where the Bible says, Jeremiah 31 verse 3, and the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And so the greatest love story in all of the universe is the story of how Christ has given his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And so here we find in the Bible, you know, this beautiful story of God actively and faithfully pursuing sinners. Let me give you just a brief overview of the Bible. In the first two chapters in the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, Pastor Marty, we find the record of the creation of the world and the creation of man.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that it was a perfect world within a perfect environment and perfect relationships. There was nothing to mar the peace. There was nothing there to cause harm, or there was no enmity. It was a perfect world. Then what happened in Genesis chapter 3? The story of the fall.
Sin comes in.
Sin comes into the picture. And there we find that Satan hijacked the perfect plan of God. And so you go throughout the Bible, you read chapter and book after book, and then you come to Revelation. The last two chapters is Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And there we find Eden restored. And there we find that there once again, God will restore a perfect world with perfect relationships. There's no more sin or suffering or sickness or sorrow. And so what is in between? It's the story of God pursuing sinners with all our flaws, with all our failures, with all our weaknesses. And so it really is the greatest love story ever told, because according to the Bible, the definition of God is that he is love. God is love in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. And so once you understand the Bible through the lens of God's incredible love, the Bible becomes a living book. The Bible is not just some dead, dull, dry theory or just for the intellect, but the Bible speaks to the heart that we are all loved. All our listeners, I don't really care where you're listening from, what your background is. You are loved and cherished by God, and he loves you, and he wants you to be saved into his eternal kingdom. And so once you understand the big picture, the Bible becomes a living, transformative, can I use the word transformative book?
Absolutely.
Because the love of God is very personal, right? It's personal to my life. And so, you know, God is the redeemer. God is the rescuer of lost and fallen humanity. And for me, when I discovered this many years ago, when I became a believer and I started reading the Bible and God revealed to me, you know, the great love story, the Bible became so beautiful in its scope. It became so profound in its implications to my personal life. And so I would dare say, Pastor Marty, if we understand that the Bible is the greatest love story ever told and ever demonstrated, because God demonstrates his love towards us, then the Bible will become deeply personal.
Pastor Justin, if you were to pick just one or two verses that really spoke of this essence of the Bible, the whole reason that we have the Bible and the message of the Bible, what would those verses be?
That's such a great question, Pastor Marty. I would say 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. These are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And I think in that, those verses encapsulates the true essence of the Bible, because the Bible is the gospel encoded in the sanctuary, in all the prophecies. The gospel is illustrated in everything, all the symbols and signs of the Bible. The gospel is encoded in that. And so it's all about Jesus.
So when we read scripture, we are coming into contact with the one true God who loves us with that everlasting love and who has revealed that love to us through sending Jesus.
And that's such a liberating truth. Doesn't that bring peace? You know,
it changed my life. You know, if I can jump in, the verse that absolutely changed my life was Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
And I remember as a young person feeling not good enough, feeling unworthy, feeling lost. And my school chaplain showed me this verse, and I just, it was like the light was turned on, and I realized God loved me no matter what. There was nothing I could do to make God love me more or less. He loved me just as I was. And it was that love that it changed my life. It transformed my heart and brought peace into my life.
I believe, Pastor Marty, that the greatest innate need of any human being is to know that they are loved by God.
Absolutely.
Once you discover that, you experience the power of God's saving grace. And God draws us to him not through, you know, the size of his muscles or the strength of his intellect or his eternal power, but through his everlasting, eternal, changeless, perpetual, never failing love. And I believe that if we really take that to heart and we accept the love of God, the Bible will become an incredible book of discovery, because the more we read and study about the Bible, the more we discover who God is, and the more we experience the ravaging love of God. He loves us.
Yeah.
And so God has given us a love letter. And I believe the Bible is a love letter of God's incredible love for each and every one of us. And so this is a beautiful story of God's eternal, relentless love to save you and I.
I think this is a beautiful part for us to just pause and pray as we thank God for the Bible. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for speaking to us so personally, so intimately. Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself through the pages of the Bible. Thank you for revealing to us your plan to save us as sinners, and how Jesus, your only Son, came into this world, took our sin upon himself, and Lord, died on that cross, but rose again. Oh Lord, as we look at Jesus, our hearts are filled with hope and with love. Help us, oh God, to continue to look to you. Father, bless, Lord, all the listeners today. Strengthen their faith, and may they encounter and experience the true love that you have for them, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, it's been a joy to share about the Bible with you this afternoon. And as you take the Bible and read it personally, I know that you will sense God speaking to your heart in a way that no other book can, because no one will love you like Jesus loves you. No one loves you like God loves you. And when, as Pastor Justin was saying, when you encounter this love, life will take on a brand new meaning, and a new peace and a new joy will fill your heart. And so I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to share with you. Tomorrow, the journey is going to continue with Pastor Gary and Pastor David Butcher, as they're going to talk about why is a biblical worldview so important? Why is actually looking at life through the lens of Scripture, why is it so important? And I think you're going to have a wonderful time on Drive Time tomorrow again, starting at 5 p.m. Adelaide time. But until then, I want you to remember this wonderful promise and take it to heart. This is the promise of Jesus to each of us. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May God richly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.